Not ready, but want to sing? No? I thought JT was fixing to sing Jump Up. No?
Make sure your mic works.
All right. What'd you say?
He said tap it.
Well, my wife's telling me stuff too, JT. I got to listen to her first. She takes priority.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
All right. You kids singing or no?
I said they can. They're always ready.
The kids want to sing? They said yes. So come on, kids, and sing. Anybody else have a special? I'm glad we got Go Tell It on the Mountain out of the way. Go in your Bibles tonight to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Jeremiah, chapter 31. I just want to take a few minutes tonight and kind of put us in the right mindset for what's going on in history in this particular story that we call the resurrection story. Everybody's waiting on Easter Sunday. But a lot of things have taken place up till now, and then Easter Sunday's coming. If we were back in the days of this crucifixion, Jesus would have been in the grave about an hour by now. You know, somebody like, that's not Good Friday yet. I'm a firm believer that Scripture proves Scripture. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 12, verse 40, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. I think that's literal. I don't think three partial days. He mentioned days and nights, and I think that's important. And I think if we look at the story from not Americanized tonight, but maybe look through Jerusalemized tonight and how their time is and everything. We've discussed this a lot in Sunday school, but a Jewish day starts at 6:30 or 6 o'clock p.m. So every time I've ever toured Israel, at 6 o'clock on Friday is the Sabbath, 6:01. And at 6:01 on Saturday, it's the first day of the week. Now, I know that's confusing, but it's not for them. And this was written from their viewpoint. So we know that at 6 o'clock or 6:01 p.m. the next day would start. So let's kind of read the story tonight, thinking about that timeline and what we're going to talk about Passover tonight. And that's my game plan for you. Passover was for the whole world. Now, I know you're thinking it was a Jewish thing. We're going to go back in Exodus, and we're going to read this just for a minute. And I'm going to ask you a question going in, and you can ponder till we get there. What happens if an Egyptian were to put the blood over the door? I want you to put that in your mind and be thinking about it. Now, there's other Jewish holidays like Yom Kippur that we see on our calendar today, which is the Day of Atonement. That was primarily a Jewish holiday, and they celebrated that. But Passover has really been celebrated all over the world. And I want you to read Jeremiah's take on it, Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So God talks about a new covenant, and the new covenant simply means a new testament. Covenant and testament are the same word. So there was an Old Testament or Old Covenant, and there was a New Testament and a new covenant. The Old Covenant was with the house of Israel, and we know what he's talking about when he's talking about bringing them out of the land of Egypt. He's talking about Passover, the last thing they did before they left Egypt. Now Jeremiah is saying there's a new covenant coming. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians 5. Let me get all this out of the way, and we'll talk for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I just want you to see the picture. This is Paul speaking. Say amen when you found 1 Corinthians 5, so I know you're there. All right. Verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even as Christ our what? Christ our what? Is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We'll talk about that before we quit tonight. So Jesus Christ is told that he's going to be our Passover. Now, I got to ask this question, and this is going to sound so confusing when I ask it, but I want you to think about it before you just look at me funny. Was Passover a day? Or was Passover a lamb? Passover a day or is Passover a lamb? Y'all look starstruck. When we read and we study Passover, and everybody talking about celebrating Passover, if we go back and read in Leviticus, we would find out that really what was the holiday was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Passover was an event that happened. It was an event. Now we always talk about we're celebrating Passover. We just read that Jesus was our Passover. Did you read that? He's our Passover. Jesus technically was the Lamb. John said in John 1:29, behold what? The Lamb of God that would do what? Take away the sins of the world. I love that. Go back and remind yourself what he said. The Lamb of God that would take away the sins of Israel or the world? Of the world. This Passover was for everybody. All right? So go with me to Exodus. I want you to read this with me. Now, how many did their homework and they read all that stuff I told you to read? That's going to come into play in a minute, all right? Your homework won't be in vain. If you didn't do your homework, you're going to be like, I don't even know what he's talking about. But if you did your homework, you're going to be like, I see that, everything I read this week. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 11, God tells Moses what's about to take place. This was the 10th plague. He kept coming to Pharaoh, let my people go, let my people go. And one by one by one, Pharaoh would not let him go. And finally, the Bible tells us that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then it tells us that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. That's the key to a lot of stuff. You can tell God no, and tell God no, and tell God no, and eventually it's no. Now that's a tough place to ever get to. You think, Brother Steve, there's people that's God there? I think so. I think I've met those hard people. Most of the time they're not sitting in the congregation like this. They've done gave up on church and the Bible and everything with God. But you know what? One particular time, they were telling God no. They were telling God no. And then finally God just quit. I think that's the key, because here Pharaoh finally said no the last time, and then God hardened his heart. Now, it tells us in verse number 4, chapter 11 of Exodus, Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth on the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn beasts. So this was an Egypt-wide plague. Everybody was affected. The animals were affected. This plague was going to get the firstborn. But God had a plan. And he tells us in chapter 12 what the plan was. I want you to read this with me. If you're note takers, jot a couple things down, and then I'm going to put all this together before you go home. All right? Verse 1, chapter 12. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. So here's what God's done off the bat. He said, this Passover is so important, we're going to make a new calendar. This month that we're about to celebrate Passover is going to be the first month. It's going to be easy to keep up with. It's the first month of our year. It's going to be the month of Nisan. When you read Leviticus, you read some Numbers, he's going to give us the name of that month, but it's the month of Nisan, all right? In the first month of Nisan, now watch, it should be the first month of the year for you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of the father of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now watch. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to this house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. 6. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. All right. Look up here in a second. Let me talk to you. So here's the plan. On the 10th day of the first month, you're to get a lamb, a yearling. It's got to be without spot and blemish. You keep that lamb up till the 14th day. Everybody with me so far? Now what are you to do? You're to examine it and make sure it is fit for the sacrifice. All right? Now keep that in mind. What day of the month do you pick the lamb? I've lost everybody. What day of the month do you pick the lamb? 10th day. And you're going to keep it up until when? 14th day. So that lamb's going to be in your house, taking care of it. Kids are playing with it. Y'all with me? They're getting to know the lamb. Everybody's got the lamb, all right? Now read with me a little bit farther. Verse 7 or verse 6. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So what day are we killing it? We all kill it together. Everybody okay so far? All right, keep going. They shall take up the blood and strike it on the two side posts of the upper door post of the house wherein they shall all eat. All right? Now, let's go over to the door. You can't see it up here, but there's a piece of metal, and that piece of metal is called what? The lintel. That's what the Bible calls it too. So they had to go to the post of the house. They had to put blood up here, and blood up on the door. Right? Now I want you to imagine in your mind when that blood started running. You go home and make in your mind what you think that would make a picture of. You make a beautiful picture of a cross. If that blood came down, that blood dripped down, that blood is going to make a cross. There's going to be a great picture there, I promise you. Now, before nightfall, everybody that's outside had to pass through underneath the blood and inside the house. Everybody with me? And they go in and they close the door and it's closed for that night to see what would happen. Now watch the rest of this. Verse 8, they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the prunings thereof. All through Scripture, God's been trying to show us a picture of Jesus. We've read about the two goats. We've read about Isaac when he went up on the mountain and with his dad, and there's a ram caught in the bushes. Everything up to this point has been pointing to Jesus. And now we're going to see the greatest picture of all. I want you to think about this story for a minute. The lamb that was killed had to be perfect. What day was it killed on? When did they catch it? All right, you're good. The 14th day, they're putting blood over the doors. They're cooking the meat. I love what it said in verse 9, roast with fire. You think about what that means. Roast with fire. So it's done completely. You know what they did with the rest of it? You didn't save it for spare tomorrow. You know what you did? They burned it. Now here's the weird part. You ready? When they had this meal, they would go dressed, shoes on, staffs in their hand, ready to go. Not in bed, but ready to go. Because in the morning, we're out of here. That was the picture. All right, so that night, the death angel came into Egypt, and every place there was blood over the door, the death angel did what? Passed over. What was the blood for? Was the blood for God? Or was the blood for us? Read verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be unto you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Look what he said in 13. The blood shall be to you. It wasn't for God. It's for you. All right? Now, let me put this fast forward to John 19. In John 19, we got the story of the crucifixion. Leading up to John 19, on the 10th day of the month, Jesus came riding in on a donkey. What else happened on the 10th day? The lambs were brought in. There you go. Good. So, I'm telling you, this is all a picture. God's saying, watch the picture. He's saying, Jesus comes riding in. He goes into the eastern gate at the same day. You know why the crowd was already there, Julia? Because the people were there watching the lambs come in, going through the sheep gate for the priest to examine. Every family had to have one. Now think about it. How many people, how many lambs are we talking about? These lambs were raised in Bethlehem. Who was born in Bethlehem? Jesus, the Lamb of God. It's been the same picture the whole time. And now here's the Lamb of God riding into town the same day the sheep are being brought in for Passover. What's the priest doing for the next few days? Examining the sheep. What do they do with Jesus the next few days? Examining, right? The Sanhedrin in front of Annas examines him. Caiaphas examines him. Herod examines him. Pilate examines him. And they all found what result? No fault. He was the Lamb without spot and blemish. He was the perfect Lamb of God. Isn't it a beautiful picture? Isn't it awesome? And then, on the 14th day, what happened? What happens every Passover on the 14th day of Nisan? In the evening, they kill the lamb. The same moment in time, the Bible tells us from 12 to 3, from the 6th hour to the 9th hour, Jesus was hanging on the cross. It got dark. Why did it get dark? Because of the wrath of God on sin. You want to see the picture? Go back to Exodus and you see. What did it do with that lamb? How did it cook it? With fire. See, even that showed us the fire is always a picture of God's wrath. And God's wrath upon sin was seen that day from the cross as it went black. Y'all with me? Go to John 20 or 19. I want you to see this. John 19. We know from Matthew, Mark, Luke, there was the ninth hour when Jesus was going to say his last words, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Verse 28, John 19. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. Verse 28 tells us that Jesus wanted to make sure all Scripture was fulfilled. That was the whole purpose The day was not coincidental. The time in history was not coincidental. It was all part of God's master plan. I shared with my class online last night in Belize this. When I love parades. I love going to the parade. But when I'm at the parade, I can see what's in front of me. I can see a little bit up that way and a little bit back that way. But you know, where God sets, He sees the end from the beginning. From eternity past, God could see this day. He could see His Son coming in on the 10th day. He can see Him going through examination. And now it's the 14th day. And now He sees His Son hanging on a cross, dying at the same time the lambs were dying. Verse 29. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar. They filled a sponge with vinegar, put it upon his hyssop, and put it in his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, y'all say it. And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. It is finished. You know, for a long time I wondered what He was talking about. It was finished. But according to Jeremiah, I know what He was talking about. He's talking about that old way is finished. But now there's a new way. It's not written on paper anymore. It's written on man's hearts. Y'all still have Jeremiah 31 before I read the rest of this? I want you to read one more thing there if you can go back real fast. Jeremiah 31. I don't want to lose you, but I want you to read this. Verse 34 to me is a key. Jeremiah 31, 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, say, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Hallelujah. Huh? Everybody will know Him. It's what He said. Everybody will know me. And I will forgive their sin, their iniquity, the dirtiness of their sin. And I will remember no more. Isn't that awesome? And Jeremiah was telling us about the end of something and the beginning of something. I'm so thankful tonight that during Passover that Rochelle and I didn't have to pack a lamb in. She would have never gave it up. We pick up stray animals and keep them. There's no way we're going to keep a lamb for 4 days in the house and then we're going to take it and kill it. It's not probably happening. God said, I got a better way for you, Steve. And I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, for that better way. And now the Lamb of God is hanging on the cross. And He looks at that crowd and I think He looks at the Father and He said, it's finished. What? That old way. It's finished. The Jews, therefore, verse 31, back in John 19. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So let's talk about that just for a second. This is where everybody hangs up. And I wanted to get you unhung tonight so we can go home. Everybody said, well, see, preacher, the Sabbath day's tomorrow. And that's why He died on Friday. But John led us into something that a lot of the other writers didn't tell us. John tells us, for that Sabbath was a high day. If you go back to the book of Exodus, he called it a holy convocation. What is that, Brother Steve? That's simply another Sabbath day, other than the Sabbath day. Anybody know what Sabbath actually means? It means rest. So here's what he said. The day of Passover, the lamb was killed on the 14th. The next day is Passover, right? The lamb's the Passover. The next day begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Nobody can work that day. That's why you got to kill it today. Preparation day for the next day. Everybody with me? She don't work tomorrow. That's the same as a Sabbath day on Saturday for them. But this is not a Saturday. This is a holy day, a high holy day. So Jesus died. They got him off the cross. And remember, at 3 o'clock, he's saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." And it's finished. He says all of that by the 3 o'clock. They get him down. They wrap him up. They get him in the grave before 6:01. Everybody okay? He's got to be in the grave. And the next day is a what? A holy day, a Sabbath day. Isn't that cool? And then they're going to have that day, another day, and then another Sabbath day. Yeah? Yeah, but Brother Steve, he rose early Sunday morning. That's why we have sunrise service. When they got to the tomb, he's already gone. They didn't catch him coming out. He's already out. Some of them got there at dark and he's still already out. But remember, 6:01 Saturday night is Sunday. I know, because we're Americans and we watch that clock. But technically our day starts at night too. 12:01, it's a new day. Now I'm still in bed at night because it's night. But it's the next day, right? But theirs starts at 6:01. That confused like totally, or is everybody like kind of okay? Jesus was fulfilling everything, so you and I won't have to keep up with that. He said, "Let me become your Passover lamb." And I'm saying, thank you. That's so much easier. Now, I said I had one more thing to throw at you. I want you to go with me to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. We're going to close here. So while you're turning there, let me remind you of a verse I read to you. I'm going to read it one more time. I want you to get this in your mind. This is what Paul said. "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast." I like that. Let's keep the feast. We talk about fasting all the time, and some of my family, we've been trying to fast a little bit through this time, praying more and stuff. But you know what? I'd rather feast than fast any day. Nobody else? Tag me in on the feast. I'm about done with the fast, all right? But here's what he said. "Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice or wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." I want to help you with that tonight. I just filled 25 minutes in because I didn't want you to get out early. But the message is right here, what I'm going to read to you, and then I'm done. What they had to do was make sure all the leaven was out of the house and make sure the lamb blood was over the door and make sure it was pure. Make sure the bread that we're going to eat was unleavened as well. And here's what God says I need to do. Jesus became my Passover. He's my lamb. Oh, I don't have to worry about none of that. But he said what I need to do is cast out the unleavened in sincerity and truth. So let's get serious for a minute. As we celebrate our version of Passover, if you will. Do you all have any sin in your life that you probably ought to get it out? That's what this holiday was about for them, to get all the leaven out of the house. Now what did leaven represent? It represented sin. God was trying to show them a picture, picture, picture. Get the leaven out. Get the leaven out. Now he says, forget the yeast. Get the sin out. Sincerity. That means like get really serious with yourself. So here's how the psalmist David said it. Search me, O God, verse 23. Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Colon. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Stop and think about that for a minute. I don't know nobody's heart in this room. I try my best to pastor you and lead you, but I don't know your heart. I've been with her 43 years. I don't know her heart. I don't even know my own very well, Daryl. That's why David says, search me. And God, you know my heart. He said, try me. Y'all ready for this one? And know my thoughts. Some of you need to repent right now. I wish that guy would hurry up and hush. I know what you've been thinking. I've been reading minds for a while now. Seriously, God knows our thoughts. He said, let's make sure there's no malice in here. No wickedness. I wish there was a way we could put pews together, scoot them right together, and just have outside rows. This to me just makes a split in the church. I hate it. I think we got to do everything in our power to make a church unified. One accord. And one way you do that is you ask God, Lord, search my thoughts. What's my thoughts about my brothers and sisters? Yeah. What's my thought about a family member? What's my thought about something, someone, right? Know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. That's what David prayed. I don't know if you'll find anything, God, but just look and see if there's any way in me, any wicked. I tell you, David already knew the answer because of what he said in the end. Lead me in the way everlasting. He said, I, you know what? When you start searching, I know you're going to find something. And when you do, lead me out of that. Lead me in the right way. I don't know what God's leading anybody today. But I know this. If you're in this room today, He's leading you. He led you here. He led me to share these words with you today. Now God's saying, are you willing to let me lead you on forward? You ready to let me lead you the next step? That's the new Passover. Isn't it better than the old one? And all you got to do is walk under the blood. And you're covered for the rest of your life. In eternity. I shared last night. We were reading Daniel 7. And I just love. One of my favorite subjects is Lamb's Book of Life. That seems like that's tough for people. But it's an easy story. It's an easy learn. The Lamb's Book of Life is a book of all the saved people. That's why it's the Lamb's Book of Life. But in Moses' day, they had the Book of the Living. Now here's how the Book of the Living worked. If this couple had a son or daughter, they brought it to the priest, and the priest would ask him, is this your son? This your son? Yes, yes. What's his name? They write the name in the book. They take dad. They would cut his finger. They would take the blood of the dad's finger. They would rub it over the name. You said, well, what? You couldn't see it. Hey, blood makes it transparent. Try it when you get home. Pour water on it. That blood just like wax, it just makes the water go away. And that name was sealed in the Book of the Living by the Father. Woo! I had to do that for y'all. When I accepted Jesus Christ, His blood sealed my name. And no one or nothing can take my name from that book. It's right there. I don't know what page it's on, but they just flip it right there. Right there it is. Sealed by Jesus' blood. Isn't that cool? Well, I can't wait till Easter Sunday. You all go ahead and wait till Easter Sunday. I'm already celebrating. I'm thankful for the Passover lamb. Without the Passover lamb, we don't have a Resurrection Sunday. But I want to tell you something tonight. It's very possible somebody in this room has never been saved. If your name is not sealed in blood, you know you don't have eternal life. Jesus' blood is the only thing that you'll find forgiveness of sins for. You'll never find it nowhere else. They didn't tie a lamb to the door. They put His blood on the door. It wasn't the meat. The wool could keep you warm. Wasn't the wool. It was the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness or remission of sins. If you don't know Jesus tonight, this will be your greatest Easter week ever. Come and know the Passover lamb. Come and accept Jesus tonight. Let's stand and pray. Father, Lord, I thank You so much for Jesus. Lord, there's not enough words that can explain what we've read tonight. How that every detail, down to the final detail, was completed and finished. And that old covenant was done away with. And there was a new one now. And Lord, I'm thankful for that tonight. Lord, I pray as we have this invitation, there could be someone in this service that's not sure about eternity. Lord, I want them to know tonight they can be saved before they walk out of here. Lord, I pray for them to get the courage to step out and come forward. Lord, have Your way in this invitation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.